welcome back to Rebook the Show, where we talk about the men and the women who be slapping the meat in the middle of the square circle and the stories they tell in the process, brother. Of course, I'm GB, got Matt and Jake. We're here to have a fun show with all you guys here today because we had a fun week of wrestling. Don't forget, though, by the way, if you're watching this and you're watching on YouTube, you leave a comment. Let us know. We'll give you a question of the day later
and
on today, a question of the week,
if you're watching on Spotify...
Uh-oh.
We're listening, rather. You can leave a comment there,
yes,
too.
You can. But as I very embarrassingly learned, you have to click the individual episode. You can't review,
you can't leave
like
it on...
text review on the whole show.
Yeah.
You have to click the individual episode.
Which is odd.
But I was half wrong.
It's a weird
deal. You are listening to this on Spotify, please tap the episode and give us a comment. And most of it could just be some meat. It could just be some meat. You don't need to say anything.
Just let him know that
you don't have to say anything. The meat says it all.
Hey, Matt, we're here. Comment section.
Look,
we're here. Let me know.
The meat speaks for itself. All right. Indeed. Anyway,
I tell my wife that every night.
Oh man, that's unnecessary.
You let us into it.
So, fellas, it's been a little while since we've gotten together. A couple days, as per the usual. Jake,
or 1 week, like every week.
Cállate. Jake, how's March Madness? Because I hear it's been a little crazy.
It's been crazy in that, like, all the, like, the Final Four is all the number one seeds, excuse me. That that's only happened twice ever. The last time was 2008. But then everybody's like, oh, you picked all the number one seeds to be in the Final Four. But it's not really ever happened, so it's kind of more surprising than that.
That's cool.
Alabama lost in the Elite Eight, which is a bummer. Got destroyed by Duke, who's probably going to go on to win the whole thing. But... what I want to tell you about is how my buddy's bracket is doing. Now, last week on the show, after the first and second rounds, he had gotten 15 of the Sweet 16.
Okay.
And he was ranked 252nd in the world.
Yeah.
Out of 24 million, I think it
out
is.
Out of 24.4 million.
That's crazy. That's so cool. That's like a cool thing you got to hold on to for a bit.
After Thursday's Sweet 16 games, he got those correct, moved up to 89th. After Friday's Sweet 16 games, he got all of those right. He's 8-for-8 on the Elite Eight. He moved up to 37th.
Dude.
No way.
After Saturday's Elite Eight games, he got those correct. He went up to 30th.
No way, bro. This guy's got to take a lottery card, like ticket or something.
And after Sunday's Elite Eight games, he got them all correct and is now currently 14th overall in the world.
That's crazy.
Can
now
you do anything with that?
Here's what's even crazier. There is a challenge on ESPN where he did his bracket called the Coors Light Challenge. Now, you have to choose to enter your bracket beforehand. Before the tournament starts, you had to choose to enter your bracket also into that contest.
And he did.
So not everybody has. But he did.
So out of those people...
on the Coors Light Challenge, where the winner gets $100,000, he is ranked... first.
No way! Because he fucking signed up!
He is currently ranked first in the world on that contest for $100,000.
That's crazy.
So going into this weekend, he has the two Final Four games. He's got the national championship. He picked Auburn and Duke to go to the championship with Auburn winning.
Ooh.
Sorry. Anyway.
So, but you think Duke's going to win. So if he doesn't get it right, he's done. He's cooked.
Well, no, here's the thing is as a close friend, I want him to win the 100,000.
Yeah,
sure.
But the Bama enemy's making it very difficult.
Yeah, it's tough. Do you care more about your friendship or do you care more about the Crimson Tide?
I can't answer that question.
The fact that you can't answer the question speaks volumes.
I would much rather.
That's a potential Reebok sponsor right there. If he wins that contest.
Hey, if you're listening, you know, and you want to throw like $20 at a pod, let us know, buddy. That'd be great. I'm trying to undersell. Hopefully he gets humble, wants us to give us more.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's really cool.
That's really cool. So going into this weekend, he's number one in the world for $100,000 on ESPN.
Well,
crazy.
Let's hope for the best. Mm-hmm. That's going to be wild. Matt, anything cool happening in your world? I know, of course, we got some more TNA stuff going on.
Yeah, TNA was in Missouri this past weekend, so we got a bunch of our episodes out. The Build to Rebellion is really heavily underway.
And we're all going to be there. Rebellion.
That's right. We'll all be there. The what?
The Rebellion. Because it's building. It's the build.
No, you got to stop. You're drunk with power. You're drunk with power.
Reach and a half. But no, that was it was very cool. It was another good set of shows, and we are on the
which we'll talk about tomorrow.
That's right.
Yes, we will talk about for our TNA episode this week. That's right.
That is right. So make sure you're sticking around for that, and you are subscribed if you haven't had a chance to do so. Okay, because we got a TNA special TNA episode. We're only two episodes in on that bad boy, and we're gonna keep it going because it has been awesome to catch up with more TNA stuff. And I've been seeing all the news and everything about, you know, like even the hype around TNA Plus and everything. It's exciting. We'll talk about all that stuff tomorrow. It's just a great time to be a wrestling fan in general, just because there's so many options that are out there for you. This week we're actually recording this in our time around like 8 o'clock in the evening, because I'm filming State Farm Gamerhood season 4. If you've watched it previously, it's pretty good, super fun, but the shoot times are crazy. I'm like waking up at 6 a.m. and we're wrapping at 6 p.m. So it's been a little exhausting, but hey, I was so pumped to come and talk some pro wrestling with my boys today. So let's go ahead and not waste any time and jump right into it. AEW Dynasty is right around the corner, and we got ourselves a pretty stacked card so far. Obviously AEW likes to add matches, you know, like last minute.
At the last minute,
they'll add something on Collision on Saturday that we'll probably miss, but it's no big deal because I think that for the most part, and to their credit, they really honed in on what are the big marquee matches that are going to be on the card, and those are already confirmed. So we'll spend our time talking about that, and let's just jump right into our first one because it's a good one and one that I think is going to have a lot of implications, and that is for the Trios Championship. You got Death Riders versus Rated FTR. Now, fellas, how the hell does this one go?
This one's tough.
This is a tough one.
Because we saw the interesting, which I really liked the little sit down promo they did with FTR and Cope, because I like that people can be 360 characters, whether baby faces or heels, and like the idea that Dax was able to have this moment that in a lot of other generations would have been heel turn because. Mm-hmm. He was mean to his friends, but it was like, I was pissed.
It was a human moment.
And he apologized for it. And there's still some, that said, it is still wrestling. So I think it could still lead down a path that maybe gets us there. But I like that it didn't take us in this black and white stark path. Oh, I'm going to push my friend. Now I'm a heel. But that's a wrinkle for their side of the thing. Also, I wish, and maybe we'll see it at Dynasty, and this will be my final point here, it would be Death Riders? Like, are you still? Like, we've kind of seen this fracture since before the last pay-per-view.
Yeah.
With, Mox was kind of left on his own because they got taken out, but now they're just, like, back?
Yeah.
Kind of thing? Like, how is everything around the tree fort? Like, and the Death Riders, hideout? You know what I mean? Like, could this be a splintering for
what
them?
What if their hideout was more juvenile than the Judgment Day's? You know what I mean? Like, if they've like,
oh yeah,
you know, like, it's kind of the same kind of stuff that's in there, but it's more like a Chuck E. Cheese than it is just like a clubhouse. And
it'd be really sick.
Mox is just sitting there in a ball pit stewing.
It'd be sick just if it was like an abandoned Chuck E. Cheese.
Or if somebody was bouncing him in the bouncy house. And he's
I like that. That'd be a sick one. I could envision it like an abandoned like Chuck E. Cheese that looks like Five Nights at Freddy's type of joint.
I was you know about what to I mean? Say, yeah, like
something,
Freddy Fazbear's,
something
yeah.
like that. I think could be like super cool.
You ever see the show Mr. Robot?
Yes. Oh yeah, yes. Like their hideout. Yes, like their hideout. Yes, that is 100% the hideout.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jake, where do you see this going?
Man, I'll tell you what. Until you mentioned that, because I'd forgot about that little interview, that moment. I was leaning Death Riders. But man, I don't know. Even if Rated FTR is showing signs of splintering, it may be even more interesting for them to put the belts on them to see how they handle it and how they go through it. And
yeah.
But honestly, like, it's kind of a similar situation as the Death Riders. I mean, when you think about it, their dynamic is really kind of similar right now. I think both of these teams need a win.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. Very
but,
true.
But man, this is really a, I could really see this one going either way. I'm going to, Matt, you went with,
I didn't make a pick. I'm going to go with Rated FTR though. I think they're invested in them right now.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean that makes sense to me.
Just because if nothing else, it just seems like AEW as and in within the narrative, just in general, seem invested in unless this does end up being the typical like a loss here leads them further down the path to splitting. But like that seems.
But we had even talked about before all the interactions with Mox, we felt like Rated FTR was due for or primed for.
That is true. We were kind of hoping for it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think it'd be interesting to put it on them because we could tell a lot, like a very interesting, complex story with them. I don't know. It might be interesting to like if Rated FTR wins and Death Riders lose, they kind of flip.
Yeah.
The dynamic a little bit of now.
Yeah, that's true.
Of now, Death Riders are kind of like, well, shit. Like, what's going on? We can't, you know, we're barely holding on to things as it is. We just lost our grip on the trios title. So what's next?
Yeah,
you know, and maybe start to see some splintering there. Yeah. Maybe that's the beginnings of them dissipating into the wind.
Yeah, maybe. I do feel like the emphasis, the re-emphasis that AEW has put on the trios titles has been really good. I don't think that Death Riders are the team that should hold the belts right now, because I think now that you have so many really good dynamics happening with the trios division, and then you have a great story dynamic that's going on with Rated FTR, I feel like it would be way better to just put the belts on Rated FTR, because there's a compelling story to tell about three guys, two of which who are really struggling to see eye to eye in situations. They succeed in beating, you know, the Death Riders, and they succeed in doing this, but now it becomes about this obsession of holding the title, right? And I think that it's really a sick dynamic to consider that FTR have been a team, a duo, their whole time.
Forever.
Mm-hmm. But now they're adding a third person into the mix. And what happens if that third person turns up to be, you know, the one that costs them their gold? And then that's where you have an even angrier Dax, who's like, we've been together this whole time. We've stuck side by side. Why did we do this with this guy?
And now
we lost.
Cash has to choose.
And now Cash has to choose
between his hero and his best friend.
Yeah. And then on top of that, while in the background, you got a trios division that is slowly but surely developing quite nicely. Mm-hmm. So there are some opportunities, I think, here. And I am looking forward to seeing what happens, but I think Rated FTR is the way to go for sure. But do I think that's going to happen? I don't know, man. I think they're just going to keep developing.
That's a good point. That's a good point. We are talking about predictions and not what we think should. And
I know what I want, and I know what I would like to see. But I do think that the smart money would be on Death Riders.
Death Riders wins. You're probably right.
Death Riders wins. FTR have a big dramatic split. Middle of the ring. Dax, Cope have a 1v1 down the line. You're done. Something to that effect, one way or another.
Cash on a pole match.
Cash on a pole match. Yeah, you know, sure. Really, really.
Cash in the bank. It's a giant briefcase, clear briefcase with cash, him. With him in hanging inside.
Okay, you gotta just. I like when you just keep going, making stipulations. You get even crazier. Dude, well, speaking of stipulations, our next matchup has a couple of them because it's for the TNT Championship. And I'll be honest, this is probably my favorite build just because of like how it was done. And it is, of course, Daniel Garcia versus Adam Cole. Chugs
truly
himself.
It's one of the only builds.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably one of the most like the of all
at least
the
at
matches.
Least the longest.
Yeah, of all the matches,
this is the most setup.
This is the most setup one, without a doubt. I'll go first and just say that like I think Adam Cole wins this, not because I want to see a title change, but because I think that with the way that they set this up, Adam Cole midway through the match is going to realize he can't beat Daniel Garcia straight up. And then he's going to have to do some underhanded things that we know he's capable of doing in order to get the win. Because the story that's been put together here, at least from my interpretation of it, is that it was a story about a guy who is like holding on. He's fighting till the last breath. He will outlive you in the ring and he will still walk out with the championship because he knows that he can outlive anyone. Right, he can hold it down. I think that Adam Cole is going to have to do some really heinous shit in order for him to get the win. That's the way that I'm seeing it going. Because it feels like Adam Cole's desperate, and he needs to hold gold in AEW, which is something he has not been able to accomplish yet. So.
Outside of, didn't he win the Owen Hart?
They don't
belt?
Acknowledge that as a championship. I don't know. Just make it
it's a weird one.
Trophy. It's a cool pink belt though. So, and it's Owen Hart. So, yeah. But yeah, fellas, what are we thinking here? Because this is another tough one. Because I also we know that we're not going to get a ton of title changes, right? That's just you're not going to do that not in one night. I don't know, guys. Where are you at?
I'm with you on this one. It's been a lot of setup. Nothing against Daniel Garcia as an in-ring competitor, but his reign has been flat.
Yeah,
I think, and I think there is a vested interest in getting a championship on Adam Cole at some point. He's just had a lot of dedication to the company. I mean, I know I'm thinking about outside things and I shouldn't be, but even just from the story to that point.
Yeah.
Like it's had a lot of setup along the way and everything like that. And I think they're going to pay it off with something. I think there's a title change here.
Yeah. This is the one that I feel like is the highest probability of a title change. Jake, do you feel that, or do you think it's still like Death Riders maybe, or what is your take?
I'm going to assume you asked me what I was thinking because I lost connection to my AirPods there for a second, but what, but I think I agree. I'm going to go with Adam Cole. I think would be more interesting to see the path that Daniel Garcia takes after having just had a title and lost it. I think that's an interesting path for someone at his point in his career to take, is to see how his character handles loss, at least where he is now. Because I could see it pushing him down a darker path.
Yeah.
Especially having to deal, especially if it does play out the way that you said, where Cole has to take some nefarious means to win it. Which way is that going to push Garcia?
Yeah.
I think that would be really interesting. And plus, man, Adam Cole's been through so much shit, and I'd love to see him with some gold.
Yeah, like, look, he's a friend of mine, so, like, you know, I would be very excited for him to win a belt in AEW. So that is, like, an outside, you know, or more inside baseball type of thing, like, as just we know him, you know? So it's like, it would be really great to see Adam Cole win a championship. But,
he's a friend from work!
But he's a friend from work. But I do really feel like the story fits this so well for him to do that, because I don't know why, but I feel like down the line we're gonna get a revisit of this Adam Cole MJF thing. But I think the dynamic's gonna be a little different, and I think that this is probably gonna play a part. This is gonna be a catalyst of it, you know. Because Adam Cole goes heel, and think about this real fast to put a little connecting tissue to this. Remember, MJF turned heel by attacking who? Daniel Garcia. And he destroyed him, came back, all that stuff happened. Adam Cole does the same thing, gets screwed over by a guy that he looked up to. Ooh, it's like, there's something there. There's something there that you can build upon. And then, and Daniel Garcia has had probably one of the most compelling stories, I think, told in AEW. So, but even though this reign hasn't been the best for him, you know, we'll see what happens there. One of the big matches that was set up quite early on in for Dynasty, and that is our International Championship three-way match between Kenny Omega, your International Champion, as well as Ricochet, and in his first AEW pay-per-view, Speedball Mike Bailey. Fellas, we already know this is going to be a banger. That, I mean, goes without saying. It's like three of the greatest in-ring competitors to ever lace up a pair of boots. Well, in the case of Mike Bailey, not boots, but kick pads.
Kick pads over his feet.
I guess so, yeah, you know. And also the mullet. Can't forget the mullet. Sure. Matt, how you feeling about this? Where do you think this one goes, right? I mean, surely Kenny wins, right?
Kenny retains, and it's probably match of the night. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
There's nothing too deep here. Two guys won a qualifier match. Okay. Now we have three just badass wrestlers. Ricochet will do some nefarious things, but we'll just see some wild. Yeah, we'll just see some wild shit. Kenny retains.
Yeah. Who gets pinned, though?
Ooh. I mean, logic says Ricochet, being he's the heel, Speedball's the new guy. But
can you see Kenny hitting a one-winged angel on Speedball Mike Bailey in that first match, right? I can't. In his first pay-per-view?
Yeah, I mean, I can see him hitting it. They could get out of it any number of ways, but like...
No, I guess what I'm saying I just don't think that Mike Bailey is going to be the one to take the pin in his first AEW pay-per-view. So it does feel like it could be Ricochet.
Yeah, no, right. That's what I'm saying. The going logic would say that.
Yeah, but then that's interesting though, right? Because I think that Ricochet and Kenny are going to keep fighting for this belt. So... I don't know.
It could go if they have plans for that, then yes.
You're operating on the assumption that Ricochet, were he to be pinned, is going to just stop caring that he was pinned and be like, "You know what? Right. He beat me fair and square, so I'm going to fuck off now." Yeah. No, he's going to be even like more Ricochet of a twat about it than he has been.
It's true.
But to GB's point, if it's Bailey that gets pinned, Ricochet has the ammo of, "Yo, you didn't beat me."
Yeah.
I should have won that qualifying match on my own. Speedball's a piece of crap, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Me and you one-on-one and blah, blah, blah. Double or nothing, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh.
So that's a pretty cut and dry wrestling story. We've seen that kind of style of thing a lot of times. That's very much on the table here.
Yeah.
But yeah, my common logic would say Ricochet takes it though still.
Ricochet takes the pin. Kenny Omega gets the win. And maybe we end up with
Kenny Omega retains. we're going to win on this match.
It's going to be a banger.
Kenny can retain, but we're going to win.
This match is going to, holy fuck. It's going to be so good.
I feel like I'm going to need to stretch before it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're going to see things done that
would want to make you
outside of comic books.
It might give you a cramp in your shoulder.
Yeah, just watching it.
Yeah. Or make you just feel some like acute lower back pain that you're like, where did that come from? Shit.
Yeah. Watching them do all this athletic flippy shit might hurt more than watching what happened to Mox a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Maybe.
If it was like, hey, do a shooting star press or just fall on a bunch of nails, I'd be like, where's the nails? That's going to be less painful than.
Oh, that was still. I still think about the skin coming out. Oh, man, that was a lot. That was crazy. What a moment. Next matchup though, this one. Oh, it's going to be a good one. Why? Because Queen, the timeless one, Toni Storm, will be taking on Megan Bain, and maybe like Bain to Batman, Megan breaks Tony's back. So who knows. But also something tells me Tony might be into that, so I don't know. Given all her promos have been about ripping tits off, have been about Megan Bain's thighs,
something tells me there's no way that Toni Storm can't bend, so I don't think that'll be much of a problem.
This matchup though is gonna be a good one for, I think, for both of these women, but primarily Megan Bain, is going to be like a huge opportunity for her on a super big stage, going up against a world champion.
For Megan Bain.
But so far, she's been great. Honestly,
she's been great because she's been used in a limited capacity, though.
Yeah, it's true.
That's what it is. They've booked it. This is. I've seen this a million times. We all have, really. It's a classic kind of build the monster to a title match. I made the joke last week, we'll get a pay-per-view out of him, but this will be the chance for her to prove.
Yeah.
Whether
we get more pay-per-views out of him.
Is it a one-off? And you back to the drawing board, or is it like, okay, you're not winning, but damn, we got something here in Megan Bain. So like, this will be a huge opportunity for her to stand out, prove that she belongs in a field like this.
Yeah. I do feel though that like match wise we're gonna get something super high quality. Her match with Chris Statlander, whew, very good. She's had overall, I think her build on Collision has been really well done. So this is gonna be, like you said, Matt, it's definitely gonna be a sink or swim moment for her, for sure. Jake, what's your make on it? Because I mean, I think we all can agree that Toni Storm is walking out as champ.
Yeah, I'm going to obviously go with Toni Storm, but you know, we talked, I think it was last week. I feel like she's going to have to win this one kind of crafty. I feel like Megan Bain's going to kind of surprise her a little bit.
Yeah.
She's going to maybe throw something out that, you know, Toni hasn't seen from her, or maybe hasn't seen at all, and she's going to get kind of a scrappy veteran win. And I don't know, something tells me we're not done with this one yet, you know.
Maybe. That's actually a good point, because because she clearly, like, you know, right now is being billed as like the threat of the division, you know. Mm-hmm. And she's going to continue to be the threat of the division. She's taken out Thunder Rosa, she's taken out Chris Statlander, like she's gone after champions at this point. I was going to say, though, it would be really funny if she wins with a crucifix takedown, like just like a real standard, like just get around, calm down, bring it down to the floor. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. You're like, what the hell? You just won with a crucifix? Like, yeah. I want something, because I still go back to the small package win, and it was brilliant. Mm-hmm. It was so good. I freaking loved it. Like the best way to win that matchup. So you're right. I think we're going to get some craftiness there for sure. It's going to be a fun one. All right. Well, I think we're all
special,
on the line
there. Want to be, right before we move, special shout out just while we're on Toni Storm. Shout out to AEW. I believe, was it Collision with her Rosie the Riveter outfit?
Yes.
Yeah.
But
that was awesome.
That shot where she came through the ropes and then Penelope Ford came out and
good.
Was very cool.
Very good.
I have not seen a shot the way they came in super tight.
Yeah.
And she literally, like, perfectly timed.
Just replaced right in the right
Penelope's face was right. Just that was really cool.
AEW has been leveling up their production a lot. Yeah. And it has been, and it's not like, oh, they got new cameras and they got new lights. No, it's like they're letting their cameramen cook. Because I could tell you right now, working this show that I'm doing this week and also Valorant, like cameramen are just constantly thinking of weird ways to get angles and cool shots. That's all they're ever thinking of. So just give a cameraman an opportunity to go crazy and make some cool shots. They will find some cool shots. If anyone listens to the show and you watch VCT, the entire visual identity of like the silliness with the camera movements and knocking the stuffed animals that they make down and all that driven by the camera crew. All of that driven by the camera crew. So like, yeah, give them an opportunity. I mean, Jake, you know, you've worked with those guys all the time as well, right? Like, it's just the talent's there.
When I had my show on Geek and Sundry, we gave our entire crew freedom to be like, hey, if you got something interesting or cool or funny or whatever, just bring it to us.
Yeah.
And so we'd go in for the show every week and the camera guys and, you know, would all come up just to be like, okay, we got up on this crane and this is all just for our stupid show. It did not need it at all. You could just set it all up on sticks and left it alone. But we're just like, man, just get weird with it. Why not?
It's the little details.
They will go. Yeah.
It is the little details. And look, I'm going to get, you got to give the flowers to WWE, but I'll be honest. I'm going to give the flowers to TNA because TNA was doing it before, and that's not because Matt's here. It's just genuinely, like, you go back to the Hardy compound fight, right? Literally revolutionized the way that people think of those cinematic matches
and stuff like that. Yeah, that was born there.
But also too, the promo style that TNA used to do, where it was very like behind the scenes, like a camera's like kind of following you and they're like talking, but you don't really know that the camera's there, like more natural approach. I mean, that's all like really brilliant stuff, you know, that's like we should be using more of.
Just trying things.
I always go back to Lucha Underground and the wild, wacky shit that they did in that show all the time. Give me more of that. And
I always appreciate you taking a chance rather than just doing like the stalest shit the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's what WWE was becoming before, you know, like things like AEW came along and before they leveled up their production, you know. Wrestlers are doing the same moves every week, the same intros every week. It's like, you got to have a little bit of variety. It's the spice of life, as they say. Nice. Speaking of a little variety here, we're getting a good one because this is one we have not gotten before. And this is...
Is that why white people don't like change? Because variety is the spice of life and we don't put spice in our food. Is that why? I don't know. Maybe I'm just... Well, I'm sorry. I'm just over here trying to solve our... all our cultural problems.
You know, man, you might be onto something, Jake. You might be.
I'm kidding.
Oh my God. That was genuinely, that killed me. All right. Well, let's talk about. So there is another matchup on the card that we don't have a graphic for, but we're just going to mention it real fast. Chris Jericho versus Bandido. That actually has been a really fun story. It's been mostly based on Jericho's stealing.
Poor mother involved.
Yeah, Bandido's brother's mask. And then he got like he threatened his mom and it was like a little crazy. But I'm just going to come out flat out and say Bandido's probably winning the Ring of Honor title.
I think so.
Everything feels like it's been set up to make Bandido into for the hero moment. So,
is it officially like title for mask?
Yes, title for mask. It's title for mask. For
then he's definitely winning.
Yeah.
He's definitely winning.
So
I just can't wait to see Jericho take off his
mask.
The mask he's been using lately is terrifying.
But you know though, man, I also think we could be coming to like another Chris Jericho renaissance, maybe. I don't know, but I think he's doing because
he's about due for it, isn't he?
There's been some promos that he's had where he's gotten more and more like nefarious, darker. Not trying to do the hi guys, like it's very psychotic. It's very like American Psycho type of joint.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But let's talk about the next matchup here. It is Jonathan Moxley and Swervius Stricklonius in the main. Well, we don't know if it's the main event, but we can have a conversation about that later, fellas. This is it though. This is a big one. This is what we got sent home with at Revolution in LA. The shot of Swerve Strickland jumping, hitting the stomp onto Jon Moxley. Jon Moxley showed up as the Hamburglar to assault Swerve Strickland. It's been a lot of things going on here, guys.
A little bit.
But above
all else.
No, just
the showing
of
the, yeah, sorry.
What happens here? And yes, does he also show up as the Hamburglar in this matchup?
If he does, it's over.
It's over, bro. The Swerve can't survive. He can't live.
That's like Damon Balor.
Yeah, right.
Imagine Demon Balor, but instead he just looks like a freaking hobo with a beanie. Yeah. Oh, okay. What are we thinking here, guys? This is a tough one. I'm just gonna say Swerve. I want to see what the rest of you say.
It's gonna be Mox until
I'm resigned to say Mox, I think is like the feeling.
But here's all I want to see. I want to see a match with no blood. None. And I want them to beat the shit out of each other. I want it to be brutal and I want it to be hard hitting and I want, but tell me one story without blood.
The thing is, though, is that like, Swerve likes to bleed point, too.
But that's the problem. And
but
Swerve,
they're both capable of doing without it, though, too.
They are. That's my point. I want just give me that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I want a wrestling match.
I want a good but heavy hitting wrestling match.
Yes.
I will agree with that because I think after the street fight, we can chill. You know, we can relax for a little while.
We'll get back there.
Honestly, maybe a circumstance of like, let's see how early the trios match is, because based on that outcome could determine potentially what happens later on. If Death Riders lose, are they going to be able to get involved in the match later?
Yeah.
You know, which is what you would assume that is probably going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, I mean, it's Mox till it's not. That's the only way I can say it.
Man, okay. So there's a few things with this though, right, Matt? Like you have All In on the horizon.
Right.
Do you Will Ospreay, Jon Moxley at All In Texas?
Yes, you do.
But Swerve Will Ospreay is a much
fantastic
more,
too.
I think that's. I don't know.
Which they did last year at Forbidden Door.
Yes, but not for the world champion. Well, actually, sorry, it was for the world championship. But yeah, you're right. Swerve is champion, and they won. So they kind of did that one already. But also, that's
a year ago.
Will Ospreay wins the Owen, which I don't know if he's going to win the Owen because there's a lot of really good stories in the Owen as well, you know, which we'll talk about next week probably.
I feel, and especially given, I've felt for a while this Death Riders thing. Unfortunately, I think it sputtered out a little bit with the fans before they obviously intended it to, but I think it was always kind of. It feels like it was meant to be Jon Moxley and the Death Riders have this reign of terror over AEW until our huge show in the summer, Mania style, and then the bad guys get their comeuppance. I think it'll be Will Ospreay liberating the AEW title from the Death Riders. It could be one of those bad night for the Death Riders. Maybe the trio stays on them too. You know what I mean? And
Why are we assuming it's Will? I really think it could be Hangman.
Because you put the scenario.
Because I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about this now, and I'm like, I think it is wrong to assume that it is Will.
That's
because
true.
The story,
that's fair.
I think, really hits better if it's Hangman.
It could. If they write it, well, like, given this evolution of Hangman, this kind of change... He's in that in-between zone right now, but like he's finding himself and rediscovering himself rather.
Yeah.
And, cause there's a great story to tell with, he was on the rise when he first came in and had that first run at the main event, but he was kind of, despite being a cowboy, he was kind of fresh face, baby face, right? A little bit.
Yeah.
Then he went down his dark, tumultuous path and he's come out the other side. He's grizzled. He's battle hardened. You know what I mean? But like, he's got his priorities back straight and he's kind of on this right path again, but with all the grit, all the valor that he needs. I would love that story.
Yeah.
To be written.
Yeah. Cause I do think that as well as in Texas, which is just like, you know, it's Hangman. So you got the cowboy thing, cowboy shit going, like you get a whole stadium chanting cowboy shit, I think would be like really epic. Cause like, I really feel like, yes, Will Ospreay would be awesome. It would be really cool to see Will, but man, Hangman's a pillar. Like what?
Fantasy booking.
Oh,
just an entrance. We've already seen Hangman ride the horse through the city streets of, what was it, Minneapolis during that one title match or whatever. What if he rides in to the Texas stadium with a posse of cowboys? Like bandits.
What if he rides in with the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders?
That would.
That's always. Of course.
Yeah.
Can you imagine him coming out with like the football team? Like,
or if he rode in on Jerry Jones.
And I actually would be okay with that. That'd be pretty. Only if Jerry Jones looked like a horse the whole time. I think that'd be great. Yeah. Man. So,
anyway,
in the context of that, though, and understanding that situation,
I think Moxley. I think Mox is hanging on for better or for worse. And we still have Double or Nothing between.
We have Double or Nothing between this as well. Holy crap.
Another pay-per-view still there.
That's going to be wild. There's a lot. There's a lot. But hey, we'll see. Because even though you have Double or Nothing in between, that also means you could maybe build up a whole new story, right? Like, I don't know. You know, like, is it enough time? We're not sure. But so the consensus here is Jon Moxley. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Now we're going to add a little wrinkle. And this is your question of the week, if you made it this far. The question is, who opens the show and who closes the show? Let us know in the comments down below. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see if you were right next week and see which ones it is. But yeah. Gentlemen, I put that question on to you. Who opens, who closes, and especially who closes?
Beyond a shadow of a doubt, Mox and Swerve close. There's no doubt in my mind. There's nothing else that should close this show. Sorry.
Yeah.
There's
none.
I would like to see the triple threat open the show. I think that's a banger way to open. It's going to be fast. It's going to be exciting. That is a really strong opening. And then you fill out your middle with some more like methodical matches and then your big world title main event.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I think I will go. I agree with you on Swerve and Mox for sure. I'm going Death Riders rated FTR because I think
that
like
was my other. I think it's I can one see of that those too.
Yeah. A good violent match to start things off. And then maybe a title change as well is in the books. So that's a possibility. All right. So we pick those two. Is there anything else, Jake, that you think is like worthy of being that opener? I mean, there are some solid options.
What else could I put there? I think really the only other one I might put there is the women's title match.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say the women's title match is
that feels, but the only thing about that, that's going to be a slow and kind of plotting match a little bit. But,
right.
Mm.
And so, I just feel like it's not going to be a super exciting match, which is usually you want to kick off with a little bit of a pop, a bang.
Yeah.
Or at least that one,
Colin Garcia
could be there.
Colin Garcia is a very strong possibility. Yeah. But man, the trios, though, you're so right, Matt. The trios one, like, come out of the gate.
Light the firecracker.
Like, imagine you start the pay-per-view. First thing you hear is battle cry. Kenny Omega makes his way out. And it's just like the crowd's on their feet, losing their mind. Like, I think that would be really cool. Unless he does the Final Fantasy theme this time around, which he might. It might do the Final Fantasy theme for pay-per-views. I don't know. But yeah, super dope. We'll see what happens with AEW Dynasty. And yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be a wild show without a doubt. AEW pay-per-views always deliver. So I am expecting it to be one hell of a show, but it is anything can happen there. Of course, though, that takes us to our final segment of our program. I don't know why I called it a program. It is, of course, our Rebooked 24/7 Champion of the Week. Week. This, of course, is the segment where we award the person, place, or thing, whatever it is that brought us the most joy in the world of pro wrestling, or not. Doesn't matter. You know, it's okay. I would like to go first because I have a funny one that I want to share. And this one was an Instagram video that I saw of a guy who is dressed as Penta and he's doing all the Penta things, but he's living a cero miedo lifestyle, zero fear. Okay. Cero miedo. So he puts on the mask. This is, and you know, you obviously,
pregnancy. Yeah, I mean,
look at the face.
He's got a fucking sonogram.
Everything about it was hilarious. Oh, I just thought this was great. It has the Penta music, so I can't play the music, otherwise we probably get demonetized. Yeah, it was great. Good funny video that brought me a smile. You get my nomination, fellas. What you got?
I will go. So we started the show talking about basketball, and surprisingly, coming from me, we're going to end it talking about basketball.
What?
Because, fellas, I know, I am a notorious non-sports watcher.
Yeah.
But I had this story thrown at me this past weekend by some fellow sports watchers in TNA,
fellow sportsmen
in the locker room. Yes, yeah, sports folks. And it was all about my hometown Chicago Bulls. Because I don't know if you saw their game last week against the LA Lakers.
Yeah, where Josh Giddey made that game-winning shot.
The final 15 seconds of that was like, somebody showed me, and Bulls have kind of been from what I understand, and the Lakers are the Lakers, and but it was like down by two, up by one, the other team, all within 15 second like stop and starts, up by one, and then they were down by one or two after the Lakers scored like another last minute second ball. And with like 3 seconds to go, brother shoots it from half court. Boom. Three.
Damn.
Win the game by
a
point.
Damn. All right.
Mine's the Bulls, Chicago Bulls. It don't happen often, but, and I'm going to a game on Friday. So,
hey, look at that. Hey, that's going to be awesome. Right. Awesome. Jake.
I could nominate Alabama men's basketball team because in their Sweet 16 game, they set the record for the most threes made in an NCAA tournament game all time.
Wow.
The original record was 20 threes, and that was in 1990, and we set a new record with 25. It was insane. We used up all our good shooting that game and lost the next one. Anyway, my 24/7 champion this week, I'm wearing them right here. I'm going with Obsidian Entertainment because I have played so much Avowed recently.
I've played that too.
It is such a good game. If you love RPGs,
it's first person, right?
You've got,
yeah.
It, I yes, love first but person. I actually play it in third person.
Oh, cool.
I like seeing how my person's done. Yeah,
enjoy the game
dressed
the way you want,
wait,
man.
Wait, whoa. Is that possible?
Yes, you go into the settings and you can scroll down and change it to third person mode.
What?
Yeah, dude, I've been playing the whole
thing. I'm like 30 hours in. I didn't know this existed.
That's amazing. Yep. That's amazing. Yep. That's
so
good.
I've been on third person mode the whole time. It's great.
You have a problem.
Such a good game.
Checking into things. Okay. Clearly, you have an issue.
Good recording with you guys. Have a good week. Fuck off.
What Hannafin has to deal with on a weekly basis.
Crazy. Man, dude. Honestly, I kind of want to give it to Obsidian purely because Matt had no idea that you could change the settings.
I don't read instructions, okay?
Bro, you're such a dude. Honestly.
I just figure it out.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
But I didn't read the instructions either, but I was just like,
okay, don't show off.
I'm gonna play it a different way. Let me see if I can change it. And I think,
hey, well, you know what,
I won't play by someone else's rules.
What do we want to give it? Who we want to give the award to?
I'll give it to Obsidian. I'll
give it to Obsidian.
All right, sure. Let's
Obsidian, Obsidian wins. And also, it's always good to support game developers. There you go. Awesome stuff. They are. Well, there you have it, folks. Another episode of Rebooked in the books. Now, look, folks, I know you are excited about what we're going to say regarding what's going on in the world of WWE. And the good news is all you got to do is wait till Friday, just a couple days, and you will find it right here on the channel. And don't forget, in between that, on Thursday, we release our TNA episode, TNA Weekly, where we talk about all the stories that are going on in TNA and what you should be looking forward to as you get ready for Impact when it airs on Thursday. So make sure you join us for all that. If you happen to enjoy the show, make sure you sub. You can give us a follow across all the podcast platforms. Leave a comment on Spotify if you do not mind doing that. That'd be amazing. And most importantly, we appreciate you for tuning in. Let's hit 1,500 subscribers. We'll catch you guys later. Peace.